Today we're going to talk about seeds. Very good. Take out your notes with me, would you? Hey, by the way, our newest campus is actually going to start next week, 10:30 on Sundays, and it's going to be a download from here, and it's going to be at the Hilton Hawaiian Village, up in the Tapa room. So they've allowed us to do that, and they've in fact invited us. They invited us. We didn't go over there and ask them. And so it's for their guests, 8,000 at a time there, but also for anybody in the Waikiki area. So if they want to know where our newest campus is, it's at the Hilton in the Hawaiian Village at Waikiki, 10:30 on Sundays. Well, we're going to talk about seeds. It was in 1774 that he was born. His name was Jonathan Chapman. Everywhere he went, he would drop a seed, plant another seed. Kind of seeds all over America? Apple seeds. He went all through the states until they changed his name from Jonathan Chapman to Johnny. Yeah, it's not a legend. That's actually a fact. And from one seed, there came not a tree, not an apple, orchards and orchards and orchards. Because you see, in one seed, there contains not a tree, but a forest. In one seed. It's so important to God, this thing called a seed, that he actually likens the kingdom of heaven to that. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a seed, a mustard seed, that though it's small, it can grow really big. It's also important to us. We need to know about seeds. Someone once said it this way. He said, you know, you can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples that are in a seed. Reason it's so important to God is because our future is in here. It's important to mankind. Did you know that last month they had a grand opening just north of Norway in an archipelago of islands buried in the permafrost? They built a huge, humongous warehouse that's impervious to nuclear blasts. In it is the largest agricultural seed bank in the world. They call it the Doomsday Vault. Reason? Because if there were a nuclear blast, seeds would be there and safe to start mankind again. Seeds of every tree, every shrub, every vegetable, every fruit known to man. Right now, they have amassed 4.5 million different kinds of seeds. And they're all cataloged and waiting just in case. Because they know that if something goes wrong, you need the seeds to start afresh. Seeds. All kinds of them. Lots of seeds. You have your cantaloupe seeds, snapdragons, you have pumpkin, you have carrots, you have lettuce. You have, by the way, you know what the honeymooner salad is called? Lettuce alone. Anyway, so we have all kinds. Some of you will need your neighbor to help you on that one. But you have all kinds of seeds here. In fact, I even have some seeds here that I'm going to share with you. This is called beautiful seeds. You know they have beautiful seeds? Yeah, beautiful seeds are that just grows beauty. How many of you could use some beauty? Raise your hand. Okay, right over here. All right, there you go. Yeah, beauty. Yeah, this kind of seed actually right there, that kind of seed. Way back there, yeah. I need to bring you about three cases of them. Because, see, this kind of seed called beauty seeds, they actually are the kind of seeds that find the people that need it the most. I have some others here. This is called smart seeds. Yeah. Where's Pastor Elwin? Okay, all right. So you got lots of different seeds, all kinds of different seeds. Well, let me talk a little bit about seeds. From one seed or a handful of seeds, you don't get a seed back. You can get enough wheat to feed a nation. A handful of seeds. From one seed, you don't just get one plant. From one seed, you get a forest. And in one pumpkin, God put not one seed, but thousands of seeds. And from one pumpkin, you don't just get another pumpkin when you plant the seed. You get a pumpkin patch. seeds. God knew how important it was. God knew that it would be people that would sow seeds. Now, here's the thing about seeds. All seeds are not created equal. You can have bad seeds. You can have good seeds. But it's up to you what you're going to sow. People sow seeds. If you think about it, just one person with a deed unforgiven. One person holds a seed of resentment. And then what happens is you have a terrorist bombing where hundreds of innocent people are killed because one person held a seed of offense in his life. You can see that, as the Bible says in the book of James, that our tongue plants seeds. And our tongue is like match, it says. Now, when a match burns, it just doesn't burn the stick. Misplaced one will burn a forest. Seed. We all know that you can have one man that's angry at another. And the end of that, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Seed of anger that's not in any way appeased. You know how you can get one man who is unaccountable to anybody. What we found later on were mass graves where hundreds and hundreds of people were buried on top of one another. And we all know the seed of the philosophy of one man, that his race was the best and everyone else was expendable. And you know, from one wrong seed thought, 6 million Jews were annihilated in the Holocaust. You can see how seeds can be good or bad. So we're going to take a look at several qualities of seeds, because we're the ones that are going to sow them. We're going to take a look at bad seed, better seed, and the best seed. First of all, let's take a look at bad seed. Bad seed, these are the kinds of seed that, would you write in your notes, that holds in it, in its pod, injury, the potential to injure someone. And we all are prone to that, folks. Let's read what Proverbs 18:21 says out loud. Would you read it with me? Go. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Would you circle death and life? But I want you to see with me, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, or use that kind of modus operandi, planting bad seed with their tongue, those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, it'll come back on you. It'll pop back on you. Story is told of this elderly couple. They get stopped by a policeman. And so the lights are flashing. He pulls his car over. The wife is sitting on one side and kind of a crotchety old man behind the wheel. And the officer leans down, pulls down his sunglasses, and he says, I clocked you at 80 miles an hour, sir, on my radar. What? The guy says, hey, listen, I put my cruise control on at 60 miles an hour. You better get your radar recalibrated. Just then the wife says, Harry, we don't even have a cruise control. Shut up. I'll tell you when to talk. And the guy writes out a ticket. Then you're going to get a ticket. By the way, your seatbelt isn't on. You know, that's an automatic $90 fine. He said, I had it on when you stopped me. I had to get out my driver's license and then I took it off. His wife says, Harry, you never wear your seatbelt. Shut up, you hag. Two tickets. And excuse me, sir, said the policeman. I noticed your left tail light was out, and I'll need to give you another ticket for that. He said, I didn't even know it was out. The wife says, Harry, I told you last week it was out. Three tickets. Shut up! He gives this guy three tickets, and as he hands the guy the ticket, he leans over and he sees the wife, and he says, excuse me, ma'am, is your husband always this rude to you? She said, oh, no, officer, just when he's been drinking. It'll come back on you. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, there's two sources of bad seed that goes out. Number one is us. We sow bad seed. Every single one of us, it's just like a reaction. We can be enemies one to another. Let's read Matthew 13, 27 and 28. Go. Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. An enemy has done it, the farmer exclaimed. You see, when we are at enmity with one another, we sow bad seeds with our voices, with our tongues. When we are at enmity with one another, when we have personality conflicts, when we hold an offense, you'll see those things being planted a lot. You see it at work. Hey, did you know that Jason wanted a couple of days off? That's because he's lazy. We just very quickly are ready to plant a bad seed. Your wife comes home. Where you been? I say to my wife. Where you been? Ross, again? How much of my money are you going to spend? I'd rather at Ross than Nordstrom. But it's so easy for us to just throw those things out. You see somebody with a new car. Do you see Joey had a new car? Well, he high nose. Who he think him? And we just kind of go off thinking, well, what a proud guy he is. And we throw those things out. But we all do it. We all sow bad seed. I'm going to ask you a question, and I need you to just raise your right hand, all right? So it doesn't matter what the question is, just raise your right hand. Are you ready? Okay. How many of us are guilty of sowing bad seeds? Good. All right. See? That was helpful, wasn't it? I kept a bunch of you from lying. Yeah, we all do it. Some of you will sow bad seed as soon as you leave church today. That's right. You know why? Because it's a habit. See, one of the dangerous things about sowing bad seeds is it's habit forming. It's addictive. Because after you do it a while, it feels good. It makes me feel more important when I can down somebody else and they not hear me. So I think I can keep a relationship and feel better about myself by doing this. And it becomes addictive. That's a dangerous thing. It's habit forming. It's like a drug. And we've got to stop that. And we all do it. I do that too. But we just got to be careful of that because it becomes addictive and it's habit forming. And the other thing about it is that we don't know who it's going to affect, people around us. So we've got to be careful. Again, we all do that, but it's time we break a bad habit. How many of you would say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, we do just do that inadvertently. Oh, and why do we do that? And you say something, you think, oh, no. I mean, I got one of these iPhones, and I love gadgets, you know, so I've got this iPhone. Now, it's quite a great invention, but the problem is there's 100 things that it does really well. But one of the things it doesn't do well is it's got a really dorky spell checker on this thing. Because I will be texting somebody, and when I hit space to go to the next word, it tries to figure out what you were trying to spell, if you misspell it, and it just throws in a word that it just thinks it should be. And now you just keep right on typing, and you don't know what it just changed your word to. So I was typing away, and a pastor had texted me about coming to a leadership practicum that we have here about 3 times a year. We have a bunch of leaders come, and I do a week of leadership training. And so he wanted to come, and I texted him back. I said, it would be wonderful for you to partner with us in this special event. And I look forward to your participation. Well, instead of special on special event, I now X is right next to C on the keyboard. Well, I missed the C and I hit an X instead. So special. And when I hit space, it switched it to the word sexual instead of special. Now, I don't know. You're just typing away. And it says, I look forward to your partnership in this sexual event. And I'm excited about your partnership. And when you hit send, did you know that you cannot unsend it? Because I hit send and it says it's sending, and I'm reading it. And it's like, no! Stop! Boom! There's no way you can unsend the thing. Oh, no. And you got to call them, excuse me, don't read what I just sent you. Please don't read what I just sent you, you know. So we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to say things, send things, do things that are just not in our hearts to do. But we're going to sow it because we are one of the culprits. And what makes it worse is when we are at enmity with one another. But let me tell you another culprit in all of this, and that is the enemy himself, Satan. He wants your future destroyed, and he's going to monopolize on a mistake. And if he can get you into a habit and into an addiction, that's when he ruins your life. I got to say this to you. This kind of stuff happens in church. In church. Did you know that the devil comes to church? I don't think you're real holy because you do. Yeah, the devil comes to church. The devil. That's right. I know some of you. No. We better read the scripture. Let's read the scripture and you'll see. It's Job 1:6. Let's read it out loud. Go. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Watch this. And Satan also came among them. Yeah. You see, the enemy himself comes. Why? Because he wants to monopolize and use our bad seed to plant it in people's lives because he knows the power of seeds. And he knows their lives will be warped. Let me tell you one of the other dangerous things about bad seed, and that is this. That we don't know how it affects other people around us. We'll survive, but sometimes they won't. A dad says to a kid, "Are you stupid? Use your brain, you dummy. Do exactly what I tell you, stupid kid." Now he goes back away, and the wife says, "Honey, don't be so hard on the kid." All right. Sorry. Now, he survives that ordeal, but his son may never, because in that little boy's life is a seed that's going to mutate him one day. Or a father that says, "Why don't you ever get it right? Just get it right." Now he goes off, and after a while the father goes, "Oh, okay, all right, forget it. Whatever he wants to do, I don't care." Now, he survives his own kind of bad seeds, but in that little boy is a seed that's going to grow up. And what happens is it mutates his future. How many people, because I do a lot of counseling with leaders, how many people you think I see that are 50-some years old and in their minds they're still trying to perform for their dads and their dads are dead? They're 50-some years old because somewhere down deep a bad seed was planted and he thinks I've got to perform for my dad's love. And they're 50-some years old now, and their dad's gone. But for some reason, they're still performing for a dad. Why? The power of seeds. Happened in the book of Mark, chapter 14. Because you see, even though we spout out these bad seeds, we can survive. But would you write in the bullet, some may never survive. Some may never survive. Those that are around you when we're talking. Some may never survive. Mark chapter 14, there are Jesus and his disciples go into a place in Bethany to a house of Simon. Now, Simon was not Simon Peter, it was another Simon. And as they're having lunch or whatever, iced tea or Diet Pepsis, whatever, this lady comes in with an alabaster vial of the most precious ointment. Some say that it was a year's salary. That's what this was worth. So you figure a businessman, figure his year's salary. That's what that costs. She came in and she takes it and she pours it on Jesus. And the fragrance, of course, fills the house. The disciples huddle. This Jesus is going mad. Man, look at the way he's just letting money be spent. We could have sold that and at least given the money to the poor. Yeah. Now, all the 12 disciples were just really upset about this. Yeah, you know, I think all of this stuff about this public appearance of Jesus and everybody following him, I think it's getting to his head. Look at the way he's spending money. Look at that. Yeah. Well, that's no good. Now, one of the accountants was there, Judas Iscariot. Yeah, that's a bad way. Bad. His management style is bad. Well, Jesus hears that and says, whoa, hey, you guys, come over here. Hey, listen, you don't know what this woman is going through. She sees a lot further down the road than you 12 do. Because what she knows is, I'm about to go to the cross and die for your sins and the sins of the world. That I will soon be dead. And what she's done with this anointing, she knows that it's like preparing me for the burial. To her, it was a sign of respect and honor. She sees a lot further into the future than you guys do. And from now on, whenever this story is spoken, she will be honored. Mark my words. Now, the disciples go, sorry. Yeah, sorry. So they walk away. 11 of them survived that. One did not. Guess what his name was? Judas Iscariot. He didn't survive that. And he went out to betray him. Let's read the scripture together and you'll see what happens. Read it with me, would you? Go. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted?" Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. Yeah, see, sometimes we don't know who's listening when we're throwing bad seed out and someone will be affected. Some time ago, I think it was a musical, Anna and I parked in the back, and somebody parked their car, pushed their big van right into a little teeny spot right next to our car. And so when the musical was over, I went out and I couldn't even get into the driver's side because the other car was so close. It was only like this close to the car. So I went, beep, beep, you know how your lights flash. And I thought, I can't even get into this thing. So I said to my wife, some idiot parks right next to mine. This is crazy. I got to climb in your side. Man, I wish this guy would get his license together. Just then I saw his lights go beep, beep. And this guy was coming to his car saying, sorry, I'm just going to pull my car out and you can get in yours. No problem. Sorry. And I looked at him and said, oh, no problem at all. Never even thought about this. Didn't it bother me at all? And I thought, oh man, I have to watch out. All of us are guilty of that. Raise your right hand again. Yeah. Okay, good. But it's time we stop throwing bad seed. Everybody raise your right hand again. Okay, good. All right. So we have to all do that together because some may not survive. Well, let me tell you a better seed. Better seed than bad seed. This one's better. All right, not bad. This is better. Bad seed holds the potential of injury. Better seed includes, would you write it in your notes? It's seeds that give hope. Hope. Let's read Proverbs 12 and verse 25 together. Go. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good makes it glad. A good what? Circle that. Not a good sermon, not a good treatise, not a good inspirational seminar or conference. Just a good word. Do you understand the power of a word? I mean, you think about it. Even a little child, a father would speak a word of hope. And say, whatever you want to do, you can achieve. If God has given you the ability to play in athletics or play music or whatever it is, you'll be able to do it. And you speak a seed of hope into a child, and down the line, you see that rewarded. And that child becomes that. You take another child, you plant a seed of hope in that child, and you say to this child, you can do it. You're going to have some tough and difficult situations. You're going to have challenges in school. But if you'll stick with it, you'll be able to achieve. And sure enough, everybody then rejoices one day when they see the graduation takes place. All starts with a seed of hope that you put into a person's life. But now, these seeds, would you write it down in your bullet? They have to be well chosen. Well chosen. They're not just scattered. They're not just something impetuously thrown like bad seed. Better seed has to be well placed in well chosen words. Let's read what it says in Proverbs. Go. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken when? In right circumstances. And right, that's what the Old Testament blessings were. Do you remember when Abraham blessed Isaac? It was putting in seeds of hope. And then Isaac would bless Jacob, Esau. and it would speak hope. And then Jacob would bless his 12 sons, 12 patriarchs. Boy, they would line up to get the blessing. A word of hope. You know why? Because in those days, they knew the power of seeds. That when you planted a seed of hope in a young person's life, they knew that that hope would grow into a bright future. No seed, no future. A seed of hope, a hopeful future, a hope-filled life. See, everybody needs hope. And when you put your hand on someone or speak a well-placed word, you're not just throwing it ad lib. No, no, no. Remember, around everybody's neck is this big placard that says, please help me to feel valuable today. Please help me to feel valuable today. Because we all need that. Every single one of us. Every single one. And so if we'll start sowing better seed, do you understand the hope-filled future that we can walk into one day? God gives us a power to plant seeds. We choose what kind of seeds we're going to plant. Now, when you plant these seeds that are filled with hope, here's what you need to do. You need to enumerate how another person has blessed you. You need to speak, detail it out. You see someone doing something good or someone speaking well of or giving a genuine hug to somebody and you see their spirit really good, you just stop them and say, can I just tell you how you just blessed my life? And you begin to enumerate. Because you see, when someone is doing good, did you know that people get tired of doing good? People that are doing good get tired. And you know what hope is? Hope is fuel. Fuel to keep them going doing good. Everybody needs it. And so you see someone doing good, but if no one is planting seeds, not just me or just not you, but all of us, if we're putting seeds of hope into that person and enumerating, detailing out why that person, how that person has blessed you and has blessed others, why that's fuel for the journey. Otherwise, people get tired of doing good. You do good and you do good and you do good. How many of you get tired sometimes of doing good? Yeah, the Bible says you will. You get weary of well-doing. That's the way the Bible says it. You get tired of, you do something good for your spouse and no one gives you any hope. No one gives you any kinds of seeds of hope. And after a while, you're tired of doing good. And one day you get up and you want to kill your husband. Yeah, because we get tired. But hope, words of hope, well-placed, well-chosen. What it does is it gives fuel. Let me tell you how it happened with me. Just recently, as you know, I went all over from India. I went to Narita, to Taipei, to Delhi, then to Chicago, Nashville, Florida, Oregon to get my wife who ran away from me and then bring her home. She was with our grandkids. But in the last stop, I was speaking at a pretty elite leadership thing in Florida. Now, these are really home run hitters. I mean, I was speaking with Jeb Bush, the former governor of Florida and brother of George Bush. And then Colin Powell, he was a secretary of state and a general. And then Kay Warren, who was Rick Warren's wife. And then authors like Ken Blanchard and Pat Lencioni. And then a great statistician who worked for Gallup, a man named Marcus Buckingham. And Andy Stanley and Erwin McManus. And just really, really home run hitter, all home run hitters, and one bunter, me. And so I didn't know what I was doing with all of these people, but these guys usually fly in, do their thing, and then fly out after they're done speaking. Right before they're speaking, they have this big, nice taxi or whatever come in, and they come in and speak, and they get in, and some on private jets, and they go back out. I came in on my donkey. And because I saw that there were some of the best leaders in the country that would be speaking over this two-and-a-half-day conference, that these who attended, $700 each just to come to this thing. And I thought, man, since I'm a speaker, I go for free. So I thought, I'm going to go a couple days early and learn. I'm just going to sit and learn from these guys. I mean, when are you going to get this caliber of leadership in one place at one time that you can learn from? And by the way, thank you for allowing me to travel, because what I not only do I do missions or outreaches or train other leaders, but I also go to learn. And God has given New Hope a great amount of stuff. And there's a lot of churches out there and pastors that are just hungry and famished for any kind of help. And one of the things I do is when I go, I actually do leadership training. And they are so thankful for this church, let me tell you. And when I go to places like Sri Lanka, India, there's 1,500 pastors now that gathered for 3 days. And when you speak, it's 6 times a day you speak. They're that hungry. And so they're so thankful for this church. So thank you for letting me do that. And by the way, when someone, yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for allowing that. So when you hear somebody complaining, where is Wayne? Yeah, where is he off to today? You know, this is what you say. He's doing what Jesus asked him to do, and you should do the same. So we'll do this together, but I just want you to know that this church is more about the globe than it is about just this church. So thank you for seeing that in that way and being willing. But as I was over there, I went 2 days early to learn, and I can bring a lot of that back here. And that just helps our church so much. So I went 2 days earlier. Now, I've got this little thing on that's a speaker, and they all see me just with everybody else. I'm just taking notes with just all of these other people. And they think, wow, these big hitters are coming. Here's Wayne. And they'll come up and say, hey, I read your books, and I read this, and I read that. And thank you for this, and thank you for the journal, and et cetera. And a lot of them are thinking, what's he doing? Because usually they fly in right before they speak, fly out right after they speak. And here's this guy taking a couple days just to take notes and things. It's like he's just amongst us earthlings, you know? And so why is he doing that? Well, I got up and spoke. I was one of the last speakers, Jeb Bush and myself. And when it was done, one amongst others, one guy came up to me and just blessed me. This is what he said. He said, Wayne, before you even went up there to speak, I got the message that God sent me here to receive. I thought, what? Yep, I watched you. You came in early and you sat among us like it's no big deal, and you were taking notes with the rest of us. All the other speakers came in and flew out, but you came in early and sat with us, had lunch with us, talked with us. And he says, here's the message that I got before you even spoke. I got your message, and the message is this. Doesn't matter what strata you live at, no matter how big your church is or how small it is, all of us must constantly be avid students of life. I got that before he even spoke. And I said, really? He said, yep. So before he even spoke, I already got the message that I came for. I said, wow, that's cool. So, well, how did you feel like after I spoke? But you see, that kind of stuff where he took time to enumerate how a person had blessed him, and that gave me fuel to keep going. We all need that. That's a better seed to plant. Plant a seed that's well-placed, well-chosen, and that has hope. But let me give you the best seed of all. Number three, would you write this down? The best seed of all. Bad seed contains injury. Better seed contains hope. Best seed contains eternal life. The seed of eternal life. Every single one of you who know Christ, that's present in this place. Every single one of you are here because somebody planted a seed of eternal life. Every single one of you. Starts with a seed. Now, you have all heard it. When there's something of eternity spoken to you, your heart just burns. That happened. Two were on the road to Emmaus walking. Jesus joined himself with the two and began to explain the scriptures to them. And it says this, let's read it together and you'll see out of Luke 24. Go. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Yeah, their hearts were burning within them. Oh man, that's so good. It's because there were seeds of eternal life. Now, if your heart is open and it's good soil, you'll receive it. And you'll say, "Ooh, boy, that's a burning in my heart." Now, if your heart isn't good, you'll have the same seed planted and you'll go, "Quit pushing your religion on me. You're making me feel guilty. You're pushing your values on me." It's not the message, it's the heart. But if the heart is good, you'll hear them say, "Man, my heart was just burning within me." Yeah, because you see, in the book of Mark, chapter 4, It's a story of a parable of the sower and seed. They threw the seed and some fell on hard ground. It didn't grow. Others fell on shallow soil, sprung up quickly, and then it died. Some fell among the weeds. Weeds choked it out. But some fell on good soil. And when that grew up, it produced 30, 60, 100 fold. You say, no, wait a minute. I can do math. Four soils, three are bad, only one produces. That's a 75% loss of seed. It's not a real good investment. Four, one produces, that's called 25%. 25% chance of it taking root. Yeah, but you know the Lord says, but that 25%, that one out of four, that'll produce 30, 60, 100 fold. You understand what 30 fold is? It gives you a minimum back of 3,000%. That's what 30 fold means. 3,000%. Would you like that for your savings account? Yeah, it's the best investment ever. Yeah, but out of four, only one produces. Yeah, but it's 3,000% return. So like crazy. Don't you worry. You don't know when you're sowing which one will be the fourth seed. But the Lord says one out of four it'll take. So sow. But which one of the four is going to take? You don't know. But in what we sow, there's what I call the fourth seed. Recently, I was speaking for a leadership thing up in the Northwest. And there's quite a few pastors there and leaders. And so we can affect or influence many churches. And this man was asked to come and introduce me. And so sitting there, and he stood up to introduce me. And he said, some of you know that I've been pastoring for 15 some years, 16 years. And it's a pretty sizable church. He said, let me tell you where this all started, though. He said, it started with a seed. So my ears perked up a little bit. I thought, huh? He said, when I was a junior in high school, a guy from Hawaii, who was a youth pastor, came to my school and did a high school assembly. He had a guitar and he sang some funny songs. And then he invited all of us to an evening concert where there'd be a bigger band. And he was going to share some things about his life and what God had done. It got me curious, said this person was introducing me. So I went to that Youth for Christ concert that night. And it was there when the one who's going to speak, Wayne Cadero, gave an invitation and I received Jesus Christ. From that one seed of that high school assembly, I now have been in the ministry over 15 years pastoring a church. And I thought, wow, you just don't know which one that you're going to sow is the fourth seed. Because three won't take, but one will. Look around, folks. You are a fourth seed people. There are a lot of seeds that were sown. But you said yes. You're a fourth seed people. But we don't know what seed it is when you sow. That'll be the fourth seed. I didn't know when I did that high school assembly. But it fell on that ground. And it produced 30, 60, 100 fold. This is Holy Week. If any week in the year, it's a time when we concentrate on eternal things. It's this week coming up. It leads us up to Easter, Good Friday, then Easter. I'm going to ask if you would be a sower of seed, not bad seed. Please do better, but the best seed of all. And it comes right out of Mark chapter 4. And let's read that final scripture together. Go. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it. And it bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. When you go out the doors today, we have four of these to just kind of go with our four seeds. You don't know which one of these that when you hand them out will be the fourth seed person. But I want to encourage you to sow some seed. And it's just a little invitation to Easter. And it says, some doors unlock with a key, but one opens with a choice. And then it basically invites them to our Easter services at Blaisdell. Four of these, four seeds, sow them this week. One of them will be the fourth seed. You don't know which one it is. And so you start by sowing a seed this week. You hand that. Give it to somebody. Friend, family, grocer, people at the coffee shop, whatever. That one's the fourth seed, but you don't know which one of the four it is. I didn't. And that person's going to be invited to the church. They'll see some smiling people. And then that's what it's all about. Someone saying yes to Jesus Christ. That's the eternal seed. And it's not just an event that takes place in their life, but it's a whole lifestyle of people dying to the old. Everyone here is a fourth seed person. And every changed life started with a seed that held eternal life. Even the people you see up here that sing are all fourth seed people. We said yes to the seeds that went out. But we don't know which one. And you will get four. And so as you go out any door, grab a little rubber banded packet of four seeds that will us all sow. And watch what God's about to do. This is Holy Week. It's time to sow seeds. Would you do it with me together? Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's do that. Let's stand together as we conclude. Thank you. We're going to pray and then sing our final song together. And it's a great week ahead of us. So we're all going to together cut back on the bad seed. Everybody all right with that? Good. And then we're going to plant better seed. Everybody all right with that? That contains hope. Because once you put that in a person's heart, it will grow. But it has to be well chosen. Well chosen. Watch and then choose. Watch, choose. But the best of all, especially on Holy Week, let's plant eternal seeds. Because when you sow, you don't know which one is the fourth seed, but it's in there. Put it out as much as you can, and there'll be fourth seed people waiting everywhere. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your graciousness in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be a people who, as the word says, sow seed. We choose the kind of seed that we will sow, because not all seeds created equal, as it were. We will choose the better and the best seed. Father, thank you for allowing us to be a people with an appropriate name, people of new hope. So let it be consistent in our lives, starting today. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Would you thank God with a clap offering? Go ahead.